Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Simone Riscala, and you are listening to the Beyond Rome podcast, where my colleague, James O'Reilly, and I delve into spiritual, theological, and cultural discussions with the aim of reconnecting Catholics to their Hebraic and Near Eastern Christian roots. We look beyond the West to understand what makes the Catholic Church truly universal. Hello, Philos family. This is Simone Riscala. I am here with my friend and colleague, James O'Reilly. James, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everyone. Good to be here. Thanks for being here today, Simone.
Yeah, we are so happy to announce this new podcast with the Philos Project and a special project of the Philos Catholic team within the Philos Project. This podcast is called Beyond Rome. And our goal is to reconnect Catholics to their Hebraic and their Near Eastern roots. And this is something that James and I are so excited about, because what we hope to do in this podcast is to have a conversation with Catholics about the Near East, about Jerusalem and the Near East. Why is this region in the world so important for Christians and for Catholics? So really quick, what we want to do in this kind of inaugural introductory podcast, especially for new people to the Philos Project, is to say a little bit about what the Philos Project is. So James, do you want to just quickly tell us, what is the Philos Project?
Yeah, what I tell most people is, I start with the tagline. Our tagline is promoting positive Christian engagement in the Near East. So that entails just a lot of different programs and initiatives to reconnect primarily Christians with their roots in the Holy Land, with the region, understanding the history, but also trying to engage with it in a contemporary way, where you're actually meeting the people of the land, engaging with the region in a lived way, not just a study of history, but also living and becoming part of history as well.
Yeah. Positive Christian engagement with the Near East. We create Christian leaders, and Christian leadership includes, of course, if we're Christians, re-engagement with the place where Christianity started, which is Jerusalem and the Near East. And then we have a branch that James and I work on called Philos Catholic. So this is the mission particularly directed to the needs and interests of Catholics, of Christians who happen to be Catholic. So James, what's the most interesting thing that you've done as part of the Philos Catholic team? I gotta ask, gotta put you on the spot here.
Right, no, it's a good question. Well, we do plenty of trips, and whenever we do the trips to the Holy Land, it's always a great experience. But a cool experience, one of the most fun, was probably taking Dominican seminarians, friars, to a Shabbat dinner in Jerusalem with a Jewish family. And it was a big Jewish family. The father was actually the line of the Kohenim, so the Jewish priesthood. And they were just very welcoming, just a beautiful family. And it was just this cool interaction between, you know, these Dominicans in their robes, and then this Jewish family with their books up on the shelf and the Torah, and we're having the Shabbat meal. And there was this beautiful engagement. And the family was really interested too in learning about Catholicism, but also the Dominicans had a lot of questions, and we were all just sitting there packed in these tables, going through each of the friars' discernment stories, why they chose the names they have. But it's just one of the experiences where I was sitting there kind of like, is this real? Like, it was just so fun, because I think everyone really loved it too. A lot of the guys, a lot of the friars, something they had never done before, and having this beautiful experience of really just sitting down for a meal together with this Jewish family was not only fun, it's beautiful too.
Yeah, I mean, the fascinating conversation that happens with an Orthodox Jewish family and these like Dominican seminarians. I mean, I think you're right. I would have had that same kind of surreal moment where you're like, is this real? Because these are two groups of people that can be so strange and so foreign. But of course, our roots are in Judaism. So as Father Mike Schmitz has said on his Bible Near podcast, which I love, you know, we're not a separate people. Christianity is the fruit of Judaism. So I think that is such a beautiful story to share. Like, is this real? Is this dialogue? Is this philos meaning friendship? Is this really happening?
Right.
So with this, with this podcast, you know, there are 24 Catholic churches. The Catholic Church is comprised of actually 24 Catholic churches. A lot of times in the media, even in the church, we refer to the Catholic Church as the Roman Catholic Church because most Catholics are part of the Roman Catholic Church, but the Roman Catholic Church is no more or less Catholic than the 23 other Catholic churches that are all under the Bishop of Rome, the Pope in Rome, and are currently our Pope is Pope Francis. So, James, I have to ask you, because I'm not a Roman Catholic, I'm an Armenian Catholic. When did you realize that as a Roman Catholic, you're only one of actually 24 different Catholic churches, even though they're all unified under the leadership of the Pope?
Mm-hmm. I think it was probably in college, I would say, or maybe in high school. But I was someone who came from a rich education in terms of knowing history and the faith. But there was very little engagement. So even if I had heard word of, oh, there's these other rites, it was kind of in passing. And there's this more kind of like, oh, they're obscure. They don't really, like, it's cool that we have that. And it shows maybe the diversity of the church. But it probably wasn't until college that I started to actually take note of that more and start to try to delve into that a little more. It's funny, though, being a Roman Catholic, I'll tell people just being Irish as well, like I'll be like, oh, I'm Irish Catholic. And especially when it's around Protestants, they're like, oh, is that, I thought you're Roman Catholic. And I was like, oh, sorry, I am. Yes, I'm Roman Catholic, but I just happen to be of Irish descent. So there's this funny thing within the church where we get that, but other people kind of assume there's like, oh, there's Irish Catholic, and then there's German Catholic, and then there's French Catholic. But really it's just, yeah, Roman Catholic, is the rite itself, the church itself, as opposed to a nationality. But that's the beautiful thing about a lot of the Eastern churches is they have this very local feel because they are tied to a very distinct domestic group. And it goes to show that 23 of them are in the East because, again, that's where faith came from. And there's just this sad loss of connection and engagement with them, just on even the lower level of just lay Catholics, just your regular Catholic. Maybe you know people who are immigrants, but for the most part, I don't even know that many Catholics who are of other rites, and having known them in that experience of being that local domestic church in the Near East.
Right, exactly. And I think, James, you and I have something in common. You were an undergrad at Christendom College in Virginia, and I went to Christendom College for my graduate studies. So we definitely have that in common. And we're also both Americans. But as a child of Egyptian Armenian immigrants, even though so much of my experience and time in my education is in a Roman Catholic context, my heritage and my actual church is Eastern. And I'm really glad that you mentioned that fact that, you know, even though most Catholics are Roman Catholics and it's the biggest, the 23 of them, the rest of them, were founded in the Near East as Christianity was founded in the Near East. In the ancient church of the five original dioceses, you know, four of those are in the East. So Antioch, right. Jerusalem, Byzantium or Constantinople, Alexandria, and the fifth is Rome. So it's very interesting. We have more churches, but there are more people in that one church, in the Roman Catholic Church. I also think what I hope for this podcast is that, because my assumption is that most listeners are going to be Roman Catholics who are American Catholics and like you, Irish Catholic Americans, you know, and that they'll be exposed not only to like the broader richness of the mystical body of Christ, you know, but also to the fact that many Christians in these 23 other Catholic churches are in countries where they're persecuted for their Christian faith. And to also let that enrich our spiritual life. As a first generation American, I was always a bit, growing up in my youth, scandalized that that American Christians, whether they were Catholic or not, were not really switched onto or aware of the fact that Christianity is the most persecuted religion in the world, and it is persecuted largely in the place where it started.
Attacking at the roots, right?
Yeah, Yeah. So, okay. So that is one, basically the kind of educational aspect of this podcast. Really looking forward to that. And another reason, like, why should, and your average Roman Catholic, American Catholic, who I'm assuming is the majority of the listeners, why should they care about tapping into their Hebraic roots in Jerusalem? Why should they care about, you know, Eastern Catholics, right, or Eastern Christians? Well, I think it's a much easier sell when you think about it in terms of the mystical body of Christ, that, oh my gosh, there's this global perspective that I need to have and that actually the church has asked for and called for. It's, you know, there was a lot that happened in 2023. There are two very significant events, which I thought was, I don't know what you thought about this, James, how much you thought about this, took this to prayer, but in 2023, Artsakh, which is a region of Armenians, 120,000 Armenian Christians were ethnically and religiously cleansed in a place where they have been and resided for centuries. Armenia is also the world's first Christian nation. The Armenia converted in 301 AD. That is at least 10 years before Christianity was legalized in the Roman Empire by Emperor Constantine. That happened in 2023. That's a big deal, not just for geopolitical reasons. It's a big deal for the mystical body of Christ. That happened. And then also October 7th happened, the war, the Hamas attack on Israel, and the war that we're still currently engaged with. And so it's interesting to me that the two very important countries in the Near East, Armenia, a Christian one, and then Israel, a Jewish state, these two had extremely profound things happening to them. I don't know, James, have you thought about that much? I mean, I know you think
well,
about
of course,
it.
With But our work with the Philos Project too, it entails trying to, like, if we're going to connect with our Hebraic roots, that is also, there's this invitation, maybe not even invitation, there's this demand as Christians to kind of stand up and be aware of what's happening with these two Judeo-Christian nations, you could say. But again, they're just ones that are so foundational to our history as a church. And again, people might understand the history in the Old Testament, but they've moved on to the point where they can't even point out Armenia on a map, even though, right, like you said, in the early 4th century, it was a Christian nation. It was the first Christian nation there was before the Roman Empire accepted it, embraced it. So it's definitely something that presses on me, but all of us at Philos, and how we can... So much of Philos is trying to fight that tide against our roots in the land, and trying to positively engage so that we can not impose, like, it's not where we go in and take over again, but the point is we're being kicked out, and this is the place of our faith. That should be startling for anyone who's really kind of targeted in and focused on what's happening around them, and just being aware in that way that, like, again, the body of Christ, as spiritual as we are, we're also human, we're sacramental. Like, these things matter, these bodily things, the fact that we have these brothers and sisters in the Near East who are struggling against this persecution. And it goes hand in hand with the Jewish people too, because there's this, the same enemies that are pushing them out or persecuting them are also in large part the same people. So it's I think it's so important just for us to be, first of all, aware, but then if you're not aware, you can't actually take steps towards helping.
Yeah, absolutely. So we take this in mind, and James, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but one of the reasons I am a Catholic Christian is because the church is prophetic. So I find it extremely fascinating that the same year that we lost Artsakh, okay, and that Israel is now under attack, in that same year, there are two, again, tying it into a prophetic perspective as a Catholic, the two most recent doctors of the church, okay, so for those who don't know, who may not know, a doctor of the church is a teacher of the Church of Saint, who the church has deemed has universal value, that if we're going to focus our spiritual reading, our education, we should look to these saints, these teachers of the faith, these doctors of the church. They've been given this elevated title, Doctor of the Church. So there's 37 Doctors of the Church. The two most recent Doctors of the Church, meaning the two saints that Mother Church is asking us to look at in particular now, is St. Gregory of Narek, who's an Armenian monk, and St. Irenaeus of Lyon, who was the bishop in Lyon, early church, second century, gave us, I believe he gave us the four marks of the church. But my point is that I find it extremely interesting and prophetic that Mother Church has asked us to look at these two saints, not knowing right. what was going to happen in 2023, both to Armenia and to Israel, and what that means, not just for Christians in the region, but globally, and certainly for the mystical body of Christ. So, and you know, James, I know you're familiar with this phrase that gets thrown around a lot in church speak, the new evangelization, right? We're in the midst of a new evangelization. Yep. Pope John Paul II said, well, what does that mean? What it means is that Christians themselves, we ourselves, have to be humble and say that we have forgotten who Christ is. This is something that I'm not making up. This is something that the Holy Fathers have talked about, that the church herself has forgotten Christ. And Pope Benedict, my favorite guy, even though he's kind of tied with JP2, you know, he made this stunning statement in 1964 during an Advent homily. He was speaking to Christians. He said, we are a century that is characterized by this phenomenon of people who are incapable of relating to God. The irony of that is that Jesus, God, became man in order to relate to man on every way. God became relatable by becoming human. So the fact that the church herself, and we know this because we lose, you know, people are leaving the church right and left. For every convert we gain, seven leave. So if we need to re-encounter Christ, we need to re-encounter him as he is. Pope Benedict also said that we preach, and he's echoing St. Paul, of course, you know, our faith is in Christ, Christ crucified, right? The true Christ, not our fabrication of Christ, not who we want him to be, not who we shape him to be, not the political categories that we kind of manipulate him and try to use for our benefit, but Christ as he is. Well, this Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, is from Nazareth. He is from the Near East, from Jerusalem. That's where Christianity started. Amen. So to encounter Jesus, who is Jewish. And again, we're not answering the question right now. This is just your introductory episode here. But James and I are excited to have this conversation with you. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to live the fullness of the faith with the fullness of the church? What does that mean? What should our relationship to Jews and the Near East be? What does it mean to tap into our Hebraic roots? This is a conversation, an ongoing dialogue that we're very excited to have. And I'll just leave it at this before we close. One of my favorite things about Pope John Paul II and why I thought he was so powerful in the public square, right? This man is responsible, at least in large part, to the fall of communism in Poland and the Eastern Bloc. What made him so helpful in the public square, in the political realm, was precisely not to be a politician, to precisely not to be obsessed with politics. His method is the method that's always the most powerful, which is spiritual renewal, calling upon the Holy Spirit, and cultural renewal. And so if you and I, James, and our listeners, and the Philos Catholic team, and those who follow the Philos Project, want to see what's happening in Western civilization, are not blind to this decline, both in the church and the world, the most powerful way that we're going to, quote, change the world, save the world, re-evangelize, is by spiritual conversion and through cultural change. So all the questions we're going to ask about engaging positive Christian engagement in the Near East, positive Christian engagement with our brothers and sisters in these Eastern Catholic churches and the Orthodox churches, of course, as well. if we're going to do that well, if we're going to engage Jerusalem well, we have to always keep that perspective in mind, that we're doing it through the lens of the fact that things only really have long-term change in the public square and politically when we put first things first, which is our faith and the culture that's born from authentic faith. Faith is not faith unless it becomes culture, authentic culture. So James, any closing thoughts before we say goodbye for this first episode?
Just that I'm excited to jump into this journey, adventure again. I think it's just a great experience that we have. You as an Armenian Coptic Christian for the most part, and then I'm on the far west of Ireland there. So just the two sides of Kristen, and we're jumping into this journey together. So hopefully it's a good experience for those joining us and a journey for people to join us in. Again, I'm still engaging and learning so much about it. So it's really just an invitation for people to join us in this adventure.
Thanks, Jay. Really looking forward to it.
Likewise.
If this episode was helpful for you, please consider sharing it with a friend, leaving a rating and review to help us spread the word, and donating at philosproject.org/give with the comment Catholic to support this podcast. To learn more about becoming a Christian leader in the Near East, check out our Pathfinder free online courses, also on our website. Thanks for listening to this first episode. See you next week.